Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I have come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is often interred with their bones. So let it be with Caesar. Podcast listeners, this is Lotus, and with me in the studio as always,
Quick Carl.
And today is a solo episode between Quick Carl and I. People are going to misinterpret my interpretation of Antony's speech in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, Act 3, Scene 2.
I did pick up a couple of things from that, though.
What's that?
First off, I'm not going to lend you my ears because I have two. And secondly, I didn't know Caesar was a Beatles fan when you said let it be.
Let it be, let it be. So let it be, let it be. I think there's multiple interpretations of Act 3, Scene 2, and that's why I kind of picked it for this topic. I know that there's one way to interpret this where, you know, that we should interpret people's actions and debate the good versus evil. The other way I look at it is that, you have emotional support and friendship support and things like that with people. And when you make decisions and people receiving support from your decisions and things like that, that people are going to be supportive of you. And it's good to surround yourself with people that are supportive of you. And that's how I kind of interpret this in a different way. I still interpret it the way it's intended to be interpreted, but I also interpret it the way that it's meant to be a support type relegation, even though this is a tragedy.
Yeah.
On the show we're gonna talk about friendship and support, as if you haven't figured that out yet, but we do have a couple of announcements. The first, to repeat from last week's episode with listener Tyler, we are deleting episodes off of our iTunes, Google Play, and Podomatic services to save space so that we don't have to pay out money to a podcasting service yet, and we can still keep the podcast free out of our pockets. And so if you want all of the audio for all of the episodes, you are more than welcome to email us at SocraticNeighbors@gmail.com. Again, that is at SocraticNeighbors@gmail.com. It's also listed in the tagline below the episodes as well. There is also a link to our YouTube channel, which still has all of the episodes and will continue to have all of the episodes. The big difference is that there's a video loop that plays. And I know that YouTube is not designed for audio podcasts, but we have it up there anyway because it gives people the opportunity to load it up on their computer and just kind of go from there.
We had an uninvited guest.
Oh. Oh, a spider. Where did he go? Hey. Oh, there he is.
Nice.
There we go. Got him. Okay. The other announcement that we have is that Lotus, myself, is moving from the Lone Star State to the Sunshine State. I have accepted a position with my company. It's kind of more of a management position than what I'm at now. And so looking forward to that. And we move at the end of this month, June 1st. It's when we leave the Lone Star State.
Pretty exciting.
Ne'er to return. No.
You have to return because your family lives here.
Yeah, my family lives here. That's true. Yeah, it would be good. A new adventure for Mrs. Lotus and I. Dogs. Seriously. But we also do have our four-legged co-hosts with us as well. They're scampering about. We've got Jupiter, Winnie, and Bronco. And they're playing. Don't know why. But anyway, so how's your week been so far, Quick Crawl? I mean, I know you had your, son, and you got to see your some of your grandkids.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Winnie.
But yeah, the visit went pretty well. I have to say, it was good to see them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So yeah, it'd been a few years.
Yeah.
And they were. Those kids were definitely taller.
They grow fast, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, it's what happens when you live apart from them.
That's right, that's right.
Did you do anything else fun this week?
Went out to dinner. Would have been our wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. Just to fill our listeners in, my wife passed away 7 months ago, and Tuesday would have been our 36th wedding anniversary. So
wow.
I went out to dinner and enjoyed a phenomenal meal, and took a walk afterwards around the area, beautiful area, and the cool part was, and I wasn't expecting this, was the manager of the restaurant paid my bill.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and so that was awfully nice of them to do that. I mean, I usually expect that to happen when I got bad service and terrible food.
Right.
Because earlier in the day, I went to a restaurant, which I won't name, but the food was so bad, I sent my meal back 3 times and finally told them to just pack up the meal and I'll fix it correctly when I get home. And I did, and it tasted phenomenal after I fixed it.
Yeah.
So, but they didn't charge me for that, and they actually gave me a $20 gift certificate to come back. So I don't know if I want to do that, but I might just get the food to go in and I'll fix it here. But let's just say that it's a place that I used to like to go to has really gone downhill.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that happens when you have management and different things.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate that that happens.
But otherwise, yeah, the week's been pretty
that's
well.
Good.
And I'm kind of relaxing a little bit after having the family here. I mean, I was glad they were here. And I was sad when they went, but then again, I'm getting back into my routine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to shake things up every once in a while, but routine is always nice.
Yeah, and I have a group that I went to see, I see twice a month at my church that helps me with my problem. And, I started to actually turn away from that, but, then I got something out of it again yesterday, and after talking to some of the people there again, I realized that's my whole social circle of friends is that.
Yeah.
Because you guys are leaving, and then my friends and neighbors across the hall got a house.
Yeah.
So they're leaving. And those are you guys were the closest people I would hang out
with. Yeah,
yeah. So I'm really out of it. And so anyway,
well, I heard
I need
that,
to get out. I need to
I
get
heard
out
that they, stuff. I heard that they offered you a room at their new place.
That's probably when I get too old to take care of myself. But I just need to get out more. You know, I tend to hole up when I'm home and you know, I step out to take my dog out, but that's about, you know, I need to get out and meet more people.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely, my wife is under a lot of stress with the move, particularly since the move is happening so quickly. I mean, most people get 4 or 5 months to, you know, pack up and leave, and we've been given 3 weeks. And, you know, a week ago Thursday, we decided to move, and you know, I've got the trip planned, and I've got the hotel reserved for where we're gonna stay overnight, and then we have to get there by June 2nd, because rent is due June 3rd for the new place. And so we have to get there by June 2nd, and the place closes at 4 o'clock, so...
Yeah, I turned 60 on that day.
So happy birthday. My wife is just in... She's just in a full-on stress environment.
As calm as your wife is about everything, that surprises me.
But the logistics of the move, I mean, you know, you've got a whole bunch of people and you got a whole bunch of things just going on at once. And, you know, all of a sudden, instead of somebody else planning it, you know, like when you were a kid, you've got your, you know, you're planning it. And so that's new to me is, you know, moving.
Well, when you guys moved into your apartment, you had to go through a move.
Small one. I mean, I moved. Yeah. I moved from my parents to here.
But it's still a move.
It's still a small move. Yeah, but it wasn't this much stuff. We didn't have a couch. We didn't have the couches. Yeah. We didn't have a mattress. We didn't have anything.
When I moved, so I went from Illinois to Colorado.
Oh wow.
So, but I didn't have a lot of stuff. I didn't have any furniture or anything to move. I just took whatever I could fit in my car, and that was my
move.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're trying to move everything. We rented out a 16-foot truck and then a trailer for one of the cars, and we're gonna tow one of the cars and put everything in the 16-foot trailer. But anyway, getting into our topic, and we're already a few minutes into the podcast, but getting into our topic, friends and support. It surprised me when I announced the move how many people were very supportive of moving 1,100 miles away. And my mom, who I thought would be kind of the grumpiest of the bunch, was probably one of the more supportive of the bunch, you know. And you know, there you get a lot of I get a lot of friends that that, you know, they don't really they don't live close by, so it doesn't really matter. We just communicate online and we're buddies on Xbox. Their support is not meaningless, but their support is also limited in their understanding of the logistics. But I mean, there's a certain amount of understanding with them understanding how moves and stuff work. And with my buddy moving into his new house, I mean, he probably understands just as much as we do. I find support from family and friends to be integral to decision making, and with me and my wife, we decided together to do this. You get some people that are very resistant to the idea, particularly one of the church I attend. There's a couple of people that were just not interested in talking to us, which is weird. It was really weird.
That is weird.
But we had a fair amount of people come up and congratulate us, say that they'll miss us. And
you did have showers and stuff that day, right?
Showers. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's where I'm at.
I'm kind of surprised about your mother, because her brother just moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
And now you're leaving. Like within the same time period.
Yeah, it's funny because they had a going away party the same day that we announced our move.
Right.
I wasn't there. And Mrs. Lotus was.
Maybe she had time to think about it later, but maybe it didn't sink in yet. It might sink in later.
Well, I mean, she knew that it was coming. They knew that it was particularly odd when they presented it to us when we both went to Florida, because the company shipped us both out there. They kind of knew an offer was down the pipeline, and then the offer was definitely down the pipeline when I tried to start fixing things over there, because I mean, I'm a guy, and my almost my entire job is fixing problems, and so I tried starting to fix problems over where I'm going to be working next. And when I started doing that, then my new boss, he got 6 phone calls in the matter of an hour from various people saying, why can't we have this guy? You've got a lot of different, as far as support, I've got a lot of different things going on at the same time with regards to my family supporting me, my friends supporting me, you guys being very, you and Bronco being very supportive. And, you know, as well as Rob and Tiff across the way, they're very supportive as well. So it's a good move, I think, for us, you know.
Well, and you're young enough, so you should explore every opportunity that comes along. Yeah. Anyway, you don't get it to my age, and then it's like, I don't really want to go through this again. I'm tired. I'm old. You know, I can see myself making myself one more move, but once I do, That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, have there been instances where you've garnished support, you know, when you didn't think you had it, or are there instances where you you didn't receive the kind of support that you thought you would, or instances in your life where that's happened?
Yeah, several times. You know, I always have the saying, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your relatives. You're stuck with your relatives. That's not saying you don't get along with them, but you had no choice in the matter. There they are. With your friends, you develop a bond with your friends. These are the people that you spend your time with. These are the people that, like you said earlier, are supportive. And I consider many of my friends my family, because they've come to bat for me numerous times when I've had no support from my family.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking my family at all. They have helped me out. I'm not saying they've never been supportive, but when you've got friends, you're around them all the time. I can't, if you're not around your relatives, I understand that they can't always be super supportive because they're not there.
Yeah.
But your friends are in your circle, and those are the people that you lean on, because you don't have anybody else to lean on. If I lived in an area where all my relatives were there, I'm sure they would be supportive and allow me to lean on them. Not all of them, but some of them would.
Yeah.
And it's just like your friends. Not all your friends are going to be somebody you can lean on and support. They're your friends, but there's a line there where I'm only going to do so much for you. Or yeah. I'm only going to help it's you true. So much. Or you have those friends that call you because they need something. Or they want something. It's not like, well, let's just get together and do nothing. You know, it's like they constantly have to have some kind of reason to get together that has to, because of an occasion, or maybe it's something to benefit them because they need help with something. Those are friends, but they're not real friends. I don't count that as real friends, because real friends, it's a two-way street. I've got friends that I could call right now that live halfway around the country and would be here by tonight if I needed something.
Yeah. I've got some friends that would do that too. My buddy, he lives like 15 minutes north of us right now, and he's like, "Dude, what are you doing? Congrats, but what are you doing?" It's so funny. Mrs. Lotus has been very I think this has kind of been helping her with some things, because she's starting to realize who, you know, who is very supportive and who is not with everything. And the move has made her very it's given her a lot of responsibility that she doesn't normally have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And she's the type of person that she gets bogged down by a big picture. And so what I did is I said, okay, well, if you don't like the big picture, let me worry about the big picture. You just worry about the apartment and pack up the apartment. And that's really kind of helped her, because it was funny, because she went through the closet and she went through everything, and she put it in bags, what to keep, what to take, what to donate, and what to keep, what to throw away, and what to donate. Not keep, what to take. Keep and take, and then donate, and then throw away.
Could you say that again another time? In a different way?
I'm not going to say it again. And she, it was funny, because she is like, this is the first time we've actually done a true spring cleaning. And it's kind of nice to, just go through everything and get rid of stuff that you just clearly just don't need.
Exactly.
At all.
Sure.
And
another place you can start is your pantry. You can pull out all that expired stuff that you never used.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Pantry is going to be interesting. But
yeah, but anything that's got a good expiration date, you should definitely
take it with you. Yeah. Well, all the hard liquor that we have are definitely going to go with.
No, I think you should just leave it with me.
Save you a trip to Specs, huh?
That, yeah, exactly. I have the frequent flyer miles there.
Friends, friends and family supporting you, it's my family is more supportive than I'd say the average family is. There's a lot of families that, you know, oh, well, since you don't have a choice, I'm just going to speak my mind, even if it hurts. And I'm sure my mom has spoken her mind about her not liking it, you know, but at the same time, she speaks her mind towards what's good about it. And what really kind of made me realize how supportive she was with the whole move and how supportive my dad is, because often she interprets things for my dad, which is funny. And Mrs. Lotus does the same for me. She will interpret things of of areas where I don't understand how she's interpreting it from. But my mom was like, well, because we were deciding on apartments, and there was a place that was 2 minutes away from my work, and then there was a place that was 10 minutes away that was bigger, and it was about the same price. And the place that's 10 minutes away is also in between the other administrative building I need to be at some days. And so it was kind of halfway between both working locations. And my mom was like, well, you know, get the two bedroom. It's only a little bit more, and you get more space, and you'll have a place for people to visit. And she says, we'll come visit. And I said, well, how often are you planning on visiting? She's like, at least 3 times a year. I was like, really?
You weren't expecting that.
I was not expecting that, you know. And she's like, yeah, there's great diving. And I was like, oh, okay. So you're just looking for a place to
crash
where you do your thing. She goes, yeah. Was that not clear? And me motivating you to say yes?
We might say hi to you guys once in a while in passing.
She goes, was that not clear in the logistics of this? Is that you would provide a space for us to just crash while we go diving?
Yeah, but if they come out after you have kids, they'll be at your house.
Yeah,
they
will be at our house the whole time.
Well, give me a break.
I don't think we'll be in an apartment much longer either. I think we plan to move into a house, which would be good. But it's the area where we're living. The average age is like 50. So we're like the youngest.
Well, and plus you got the snowbirds.
Yeah, the snowbird season is really big.
That Atlanta, another half.
Yeah, that's like half the population. Yeah. Well, they got I was commuting back and forth because I had a van while I was in Florida last week, and they were talking about how bad the traffic was, and I said, "Have you been to Houston?" You know, and he's like, "No." And I said, yeah, this is not bad traffic at all.
Nah.
This is like, you know, this is like an FM road.
Chicago's is the same way.
And they didn't understand what an FM road is either, because an FM road is a farm-to-market county road. And
they just thought it was a radio station, right?
They just thought it was a radio station, yeah, exactly.
Ooh, let's go down to 1480.
Yeah, let's go down to 1480.
That's FM on your dial.
But, yeah, it's great. I think... You know, the move is going to be good. It's really good to hear things from people. When you make a decision like this, it's really good to hear things from people. And it's really good to hear from people be supportive that you wouldn't think would be supportive, too. You know, there like I said, there were people at church that kind of gave us the stink eye. And then there were some people at church that were really, like, I hadn't spoken to them in weeks. And they came up and they said, I just heard about it. Congratulations, you know. And she says, we're going to miss you, but yeah. And,
what's less money for the church too?
Yeah. Well, my pastor goes, how are we going to do VBS now? And I said, I don't know.
You are leaving your account open so we can take out the weekly collection. All right.
Right.
Yeah. Good to go.
It's so funny. But,
well, these people that you said gave you the eye or didn't stop talking.
They're not people I regularly connect with.
I was going to say, are they people you normally talk to all the time?
No. I mean, they're not people I regularly connect with anyway. I think they were thinking, because some of those people directly interact with my mom, I think. Because
she goes to your church.
Because she goes to church, but she does a lot for the church. She does a lot more than my wife and I do. And I think she was I think that they were thinking that it was my mom and my dad leaving, not us. So there may have been a miscommunication, but telephone is always interesting with people. Because you know, people hear, and that's that plays right into our politics, is that most of our politics today is just telephone. You know, people hearing something and then misinterpreting it. You know, it's like with the MS-13 yesterday. You know, everybody said Trump was making a statement about immigrants, and it was really about the MS-13 gang. You know, and it's just the way people play telephone these days. I just don't care for it, and I'm not big into games, and people playing telephone is a game, and I'd rather hear direct from somebody than try and wishy-washy play telephone.
Do you have any, like, I have friends that I started school with that I'm still friends with and I still talk to. Do you have anybody like that where you start, like, I know you've had to move, though, with your dad's job, right, sometimes?
Well, but we've always lived, my parents have lived there since I was five.
Okay, so you started school here, then?
Yeah.
Okay, are those kids that you started school with, are you still friends with them today and keep in touch?
Only one or two. I was bullied in high school, so I didn't really...
Really?
Yeah, I was bullied in high school, so I didn't really care for the kids that I went to school with, and
that's too bad.
Well, they wouldn't call it bullying, and I don't really call it bullying. I mean, it's today's interpretation of bullying is what it is. It was just picked on, and I just didn't care for it. I didn't like them. I didn't.
Well, who would care to get picked on? Nobody would.
Nobody would care to get picked on, but getting picked on, though, at the same time, it builds character, because you know who you can be friends with. Because it's funny, because these kids that picked on me, they later approached me for some money.
Well, yeah, but were they trying to shake you down?
No, they were genuinely trying to get some money. And one of them was like, I'd like some, you know, he says, I'm trying to start a business. I need like a couple $1,000.
Why did he think you had it?
I don't know. He approached me and he says, I'm trying to start a business, and you know, you have a couple grand. Are you interested in round? I said, no, I'm good.
Why would somebody pick on somebody and then go and ask them for money?
But see, they don't remember that. But see, this is the thing, is like, I don't think he genuinely remembers that. And I don't think he genuinely saw it the way I saw it. And
I think it's pretty black and white.
I mean...
But again,
there's always...
He's
not okay,
just doing it to you.
But
he's probably bullying 100 kids, and he can't remember everybody he bullied.
That's true. But
and
you know,
remember him bullying you because he's the one that did it to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but I remember more interactions with people than most people do. And because I can recall a conversation very distinctly. If I've had a conversation with you and I can remember it pretty well. If I remember a conversation, I remember it very well. But for this guy, I mean, he just didn't seem to get it in his head that I was not I remembered stuff that he did. And it wasn't anything. It was just verbal. All of his picking was verbal. But, you know, you still remember those interactions. And the kids, the two guys that I still keep in touch with, I mean, they're nice guys, but I don't hang out with them all the time. And
I
talk to them occasionally. And I deferred so much from the friends I made in college, as far as, because, and I hate to get into politics with this episode, but because I deferred from them so much as far as my political stances were concerned, they didn't want to be friends with me.
Well, it's not diverting. It's just adding to the friendship thing we're talking about.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I just was so different from them in terms of the political spectrum, because I went to theater, and theater is primarily a left-leaning institution.
Well, people evolve.
And I lean right.
Yeah.
And so all of the friends that I had made friends with, they didn't know I was right leaning until after I got out of college, because I hit it pretty well. And after I got out of college, I was very much more vocal in the right
side. So you came out as a right winger? You came out of the closet?
I didn't come out of the closet. I was always a right winger. They just didn't know, and they just never asked the question because it was just assumed.
Is that what it was?
Well, no. They mean when you're in the theater department, they just assume that everybody agrees with you.
Oh yeah.
And so, I had a discussion with my, with a friend of mine in college, and then later afterwards, he, you know, he and I were friends on Facebook, and then he and then I had a disagreement with him, and I basically put all the facts in front of him, and then he's like, that's hate speech, and then he defriended me on Facebook.
Is this the guy you were telling me about that tried to give you his resume?
No, it was a different guy. That was a different guy. That felt pretty good, though, to be looked down on when in college. And that was another thing. It's like, I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink all that much. I didn't go to all the parties that they went to, and then they try and come to me for a job, and it's like, no, man, I don't really want to work with you. it's interesting that it's interesting people's interactions, and they don't realize, often people don't realize the consequences of their interactions, which I find interesting too. But it also garnishes where your support actually comes from. And I think finding out who your friends are, is integral to the human experience. And
I wouldn't really say I was ever bullied or picked on. I was kind of an enigma. I didn't really hang out with any specific crowd. I wasn't in the cliques. And so I tended to get along with most people. And I mean, when I do go back to class reunions, I usually have a good time because I talk to everybody. And I wouldn't say I was popular or anything. It's just that I could fit in with the nerds. I could fit in with the jocks. I could just fit in with just about anybody. And even people that I didn't really talk to that much going to school with, even grade school through high school, I still talk to them. I mean, they're still outgoing. They want to find out what's going on with me and stuff. And it's like, we didn't really hang out, but I didn't piss anybody off to the point where they're going to remember that I did something to them because I didn't do anything to them. Yeah. And as far as my side of it is, there were a few people that didn't really treat me bad, but I just didn't care for them as individuals. And when I heard about stuff that might have happened to them, I shouldn't say I reveled in the pain that they received, but I wasn't surprised. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like being gleeful about it. It was more like, I'm not surprised. I could see it coming. They deserved what they got because it's just the way they treated people in general. But as far as the people I went to grade school and high school with, like I said, I got along with a lot of people. Like some of my friends that I still talk to a lot that I grew up with, we talked about that because most of my friends that I have, some were in different circles than others. They didn't exactly cross circles, but I'm still really tight with a lot of these guys because, again, I hung out with different crowds. I didn't really like make it a specific thing where I'm just going to hang out with these three people all the time. It's not going to happen. But they're still friends of mine, and I still want to do stuff with them. But if my other friends and maybe in another group are doing something, I might want to do that instead. But I have that option. I just like, I'm not a follower, but I'm not really a leader much either. I kind of go with the flow, but I also can make my own decisions, and I'm not going to just blindly be a lemming and then go with whoever is doing what. And that's what happens a lot of times when you get peer pressure. You know, they're pushing you to do something, and I was very comfortable with saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Or I'm also very comfortable, yeah, let's try that.
Yeah, Well, I think it would shock people my personality now versus when I was in high school, because I'm a much more outgoing person. I'm still very reserved. Like I don't divulge things. I don't divulge details to people, you know. But at the same time, I can strike up a conversation with just about anybody, and I've learned techniques over the years on how to interact with people, how to resolve issues, and it would be interesting to interact with people today in my high school, because I don't think that they know exactly what kind of line of work I do, and they're not going to understand things. And it'd be interesting to go to a high school, one of my high school reunions eventually. But I mean, like, this is 2018, so 10 years. It's been 10 years since I graduated high school.
Oh, so you're probably due for a reunion.
Due for a reunion, but I don't know.
You haven't heard anything though.
I haven't heard anything from anybody, and I don't know that a 10-year reunion is actually going to happen, because I don't know the reunions are actually going to happen, because I don't think that
generally. And I've been to a lot of my class reunions. We even had grade school reunions. Those were a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but I will say, usually your high school reunion falls on whoever your class secretary was, or those kind of people that were officers.
Yeah,
they kind of usually get that together.
Well, they're supposed to, but based on my interactions with those people, they were very the people that were elected were not very coordinated to begin with, and I don't think that they're gonna think it's a waste of time to take time out of their day to.
Well, you know what's funny is my class. I mean, most classes have like a reunion like every 10 years. My graduating class has a reunion every 5 years.
That's crazy.
I know. Every 5 years they have one, and I don't go to all of them because there are every 5 years. But I try to make. I've probably been to half of them, and this last one that they had was interesting because I went to a Catholic high school, and there was a public high school in my hometown as well, and it was the highest graduating class in the history of the school. So they decided to take the high school, the public high school, and the Catholic high school, and they had their reunion together. Huh. So which is kind of interesting. It was fun because a lot of those kids that you went to grade school with. I went to Catholic grade school, ended up going to public high school rather than Catholic high school. So you still knew a lot of kids at the public high school, and they knew a lot of kids at the Catholic high school, so it was kind of fun.
That's fun. Yeah, I don't think that our president, our elected class was...
What do you think the kids in your class that got elected were, it was more of a popularity vote?
There was quite a bit of a popularity vote thing. I don't
than
think
a,
that
a constructive vote.
Yeah, I don't think that there was a particular method to it, and I don't think that they, I think that they probably think that it's a waste of time. And I to be honest, I don't plan on going to the 10-year, but it's just interesting that I haven't heard anything from anybody.
They always find me, no matter where I'm at.
And not that I mean,
but
I say that I don't care, but probably people are probably going to interpret my me talking about it a lot as me caring. But I really just don't care. Those people, yes, may be who the person I am today, in some sense. But at the same time, they're not really. Thank you. Those people did help grow the person that hosts this podcast, but at the same time, I also think that these people, they aren't really worth my time, and it's not really worth going back and reminiscing, because the things that I remember, I just didn't care for, and I also didn't. I preferred college to high school, and I think most people do, but. I also prefer my life now.
Were you voted anything in your class?
I was voted most least likely to get in trouble.
Okay.
That was what I was voted.
We didn't have that category, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it was in one of the yearbooks, or it was in one of the yearbooks or the school newspaper or something. It was like least likely to get in trouble, and I was like top of the list.
That's good to put on your resume, though.
Yeah.
Nobody wants an employee that's going to get in trouble.
I laughed about it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was great. And they're like, "You're proud of that?" And it's like, "Yeah, nobody's expressed."
Your parents probably were.
Yeah, my parents probably were. But I was like, "Nobody." I said, "You have that." I said, "I'm number one." I said, "I'm the least likely to get in trouble. That means I'm the least likely to be suspected in the case of a crime." And
so it makes it easier for you to commit.
And I said, it's going to make it easier, a lot easier for me to get away with things because you're going to assume that I'm not the person that did it. So it's just funny. It's just funny.
Did you get Did you get a certificate or anything? Can I
no.
see it?
No.
Can you print one out anyway?
I think it was like freshman year. That was before I think our school newspaper went digital.
Oh, so you didn't. I was talking like when you graduate.
No, graduate they had. Yeah, it was graduation. They didn't really have anything for me. By the time I graduated, I was just interested in finishing college and going to college. I didn't care about high school.
You just want high school to be over.
Yeah, I just didn't care about high school. About halfway through high school, I just didn't care about it anymore. I was just interested in going to college. I didn't care, and the only reason I was there is to finish everything.
Well, and plus you had to keep your grades up so you could get into college.
Yeah. Well, and that was the motivation to stick with it. What's up, pup? I mean, that's where I'm at. But support. Support from family, support from friends, it's good. I'm very pleased with where my family and friends are.
I know you get support from your family, but didn't you tell me they weren't all that happy with your career choice?
Initially, they weren't happy with the career choice. Because, I mean... You're a parent. You want the best for your kids, right?
Okay.
What?
Okay.
Well, but I mean, you want your kids to be successful. You want your kids to be happy, and you want your kids to live fulfilling lives, right?
Of course, because I don't want to support them.
Right. So you're gonna the whole thing behind them disagreeing with my career choice is because I picked an unknown. I picked a variable that they couldn't account for. So, with that, I had picked a very volatile field. I picked a field that requires a lot of time and attention, and requires a lot of meticulousness, and it requires a lot of good relationships and establishing good relationships. And I when I graduated college, I had a job right away in my field, and that was. I could only think of two or three people off the top of my head that had a job in the field right as soon as they graduated college. And then there was a few more that had a job within 6 months that was within the field. But a majority of the people that graduated with the similar degree that I have, they didn't find work in the field for a year to 2 years. And your craft, particularly as an actor, can't find work for 2 or 3 years, that's rough. And so your craft starts to weaken and stuff. And
so you wait tables. Just,
you know, that's what they do, is they wait tables, and they try and find something. Like the guy that tried to offer me his resume, he worked at a pharmacy, you know. I mean, he worked a clerk behind the counter. He wasn't a pharmacist. He worked a clerk behind the counter. And, you know, I don't know what he's doing now. He could very well be in his field, but I just wasn't interested in working with him. And and that's not to say that he's a bad worker. I just wasn't interested in, he just doesn't, I think the personalities would have clashed. But for my parents, they realized that I could make this in a career once I started working, and once I started to, I proved myself to them, and once I started to establish myself in this area in Houston, then they started to realize that I kind of knew what I was talking about, and I knew what I was doing. And to be honest with you, and to be honest with them, because they'll probably listen to the podcast, is that I didn't really know what I was doing either, you know, and I didn't really know what I was doing until I got into corporate and what I'm doing now, corporate AV. And I had a couple of people, as soon as I took a corporate AV job, I had a couple of people from college tell me I was a sellout. And I was like, dude, I turned around and I said, I'm not spending 15 years being a low level actor at a theater that doesn't care about me. You know? I said I'd rather spend...
But there's people that will go down that path to look at the bigger picture.
I can understand the benefit of doing that. But I also didn't... I was going to be a background guy. I was going to be a behind-the-scenes guy. You know, and that is a lot... To get to the top for a behind-the-scenes person is much harder. I think it's much harder than being an actor. Because an actor, you're constantly... Everybody sees you. nobody really looks at the background guys, you know, particularly if you're just a stagehand. If you're just a stagehand, anybody can do your job. And
what if you're a second story man?
Second story.
best boy. That's my favorite.
Yeah, best boy. But you know, anybody, I figured out very quickly that I was disposable. And
most people are. I don't care what the job is.
Well, yeah, and I figured out
somebody was doing your job before you got here, so don't ever think you're indispensable.
Right, and so I figured out very quickly that I was dispensable, and so I had to figure out ways to make myself indispensable. And so what I did is I joined the last company I worked for before this one, and I just started trying to accrue as many skills as I could. And I figured out with that the more skills I learned, I also needed to learn people skills as well. So I started to work on that, my people skills as well. And so that's what made me valuable, is that I could interact with anybody. I could interact with anybody, and then I had these huge technical skills that nobody else in the area possessed. So I could do the job of four different people, no problem. So they could hire an L1 or an A1 or a V1, and I would know how to do those jobs. And they didn't have to source out. So I started saving them money. So I figured out very quickly where my skills aligned. And so then because I knew what I was doing, and then it was just a matter of finding the right company. And then, so now I think I found the right company, and that's where I'm at. But my parents have been very supportive since I've gone full time. And I haven't had to look for work in 2 years. And three years. I haven't had to look for work in 3 years. Because my first year and a half after getting out of college, before I started dating my wife, I was looking for work all the time. And even when I found work, I was still looking for the next job because my contract was going to end. And so the biggest contracts I got were like 3 months at a time. And so I just wasn't interested in doing that anymore.
When you get together with your family or friends, do you tend to talk about work a lot?
Yeah, I talk about work a fair amount. Yeah.
So you think that's a main subject you talk to them about?
Friends and family? No. Yeah. No. I mean, it's not usually the main subject. It's usually one of the first things I bring up, because you know, my mom and Mrs. Lotus's mom want to figure out what, you know, they like knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
But with my dad, we'll talk about cars, or we'll talk about other things. We talk about common interests a lot. Like the big joke right now is because Verstappen in Formula One. He's this very erratic Formula One driver, and it seems like every race he'll either cause a crash or he'll crash himself. And so
sounds like he needs a new sport.
So there's this meme that goes around. There's this meme that goes around that says Max Verstappen has Verstappen, and or Max crash. It'll be Max Crashstappen. Crash Stappen. It's so funny. And if you're real big into Formula One, if any of our listeners are into Formula One, you'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But it's for my dad and I, there's a lot of common interests that we share. And my dad and I talked about other things. We talk about politics. We talk about, because I've gotten relationship advice from my dad as well.
You tend to hang out with people or be around people that share your passion for work or Formula One cars. Like, do you gravitate toward those type of people?
No. I'm a workaholic, so I don't spend a whole lot of time at home talking about work. But the people I spend a lot of time with outside of my parents and my wife is people I spend with are online, and we play Destiny. We play Destiny 2.
What do you talk to them about?
It could be anything. It could be work. It could be politics. It could be just... it could be sports. It could be like we did it. We struck up a fantasy football league. We did that. That was fun. I believe part of our guy, one or two of our guys got together and did the March Madness bracket thing. That was fun. There's a lot of conversation. It's fun. it's just a place that we just hang out and have a conversation.
Like when you're talking to something that you're someone that you're passionate about the subject, and you can just tell they're drifting off because they're not.
Yeah. Not everybody shares my passion for audio editing or podcasting. My passion
but
for
I mean,
Formula
at that
One.
Point, do you decide, well, I don't dislike the person. I'm just going to change the subject because I'm losing them.
Well, I try and make it interesting. I try and share because, like, if I have a passion, I try and share why I have a passion. And that's usually interesting enough for people is that they understand they understand how important it is to me. And that's only if they want to know. And most of the time, if they don't want to know, I don't. There's no reason for me to share.
I mean, you and I both know someone that talks about a certain subject all the time when we're around him a lot. I've asked this person, do you feel like people don't want to buy into everything you're talking? He goes, oh yeah. And he goes, I just have to know when to like end it.
Yeah. His perspective, though, he's probably going to pick up on it pretty quick, who we're talking about. His perspective, though, I think can lend itself towards sounding more radical than it actually is. Because I don't think I think his interpretation of things in that sense is a little bit too intense for what the intended meaning is.
Right.
Because, you look at the stuff that he talks about, and the way I read those passages, it does not wash with me the same way that he interprets
it. Right, me either. It happens a lot. But, you know, and some people, like I said, they're not really into that. And then other people, it's like, well, that's his thing, though. And I'm faulting for it. But you know, at some point, you know, you're just like, okay, you've talked about it enough. Let's move on.
So, like, just the origins of the universe. So, there is a certain amount of scientific possibility that the Big Bang is true. Okay? And there's a certain amount of theory behind the idea that, you know, it's on some level, evolution works. Because you see adaptation and you see growth and you see commonality between all these things. For me, science justifies my religion. It enforces it. And so that's the way I look at the world and that's the way I see things. I also know that science is testing of science is done by trial and error. And that's how I view the way God has handled creatures, is that creatures are a trial and error.
Right.
You know. And so for God to create the perfect being, which would be for what he considers a human being before predicating the eating of the apple of the fruit of good and evil. So for God, that's probably why he wiped out the dinosaurs before we got here. And that's the issue that they're running into with Jurassic World, is that you can't have humans and these giant dinosaurs occupy the same space, because it just doesn't work. And there's a reason that they're not here anymore.
Is this a conversation you had with him?
Oh yeah. Oh, well, I'm getting to the conversation that I had with him.
All right.
But that's just the way and a lot of people disagree with me that God did a trial and error thing to create a human being, because I think there's a lot of things that we share commonality with so many other animals. And we're just we're ultimately an amalgamation of different animals and different systems that worked, and God has figured out how these systems work. And you know, and so rather than destroying all of his creations, he creates something, he calls it good, and then he lets it be. And so, like, that's you see that case with dogs. Dogs are very dependent on a human being. And they're very loyal to
the
wild. Well, unless they grow up in the wild, but domesticated dogs are very dependent on human beings, and I believe God created them for a purpose. And the purpose is to support humans when they need it the most. And dogs pick up on more signals than we give them credit for. Yes, that's right. I'm talking about you. And so dogs are very observant, very aware, very caring. You know, I mean, you see stories about dogs all the time. You saw a story about the old 13-year-old dog that rescued a 6-year-old boy the other day, and the 6-year-old boy was injured, and so the dog dragged him to the road and then just started barking. And that's when, you know, that's when somebody stopped and picked, you know. And so, I mean, you have dogs that pick up on things, and they understand how the world works, even though they might not comprehend how the world works, because there's a difference between comprehension and understanding, I think. And with the conversation that I had with the person that we're talking about, I just said, if you take everything literally, then you're not going to understand the nuances of what you're talking about. Because if you take everything literally, there's no lessons to be learned, in a sense. Because you are more likely to learn lessons from a metaphorical sense than you are from a literal sense. And that's the point of parables, that's the point of teachings, that's the point, you know. And so you have to rely on the wisdom of others. And if you're taking things too literally, you're spending too much time taking things literally rather than trying to understand the nuances of everything. It's harder to understand the whole picture if you're too focused on the cracks.
Okay, but to get back to your conversation with him.
What
I'm trying to get at is, just because you agree or disagree, you still consider that friendship and that support from that person, even though you might not agree with their religion or politics.
Well, and that's the point of friends, is you're not always supposed to agree.
Right. If people get mad about that, if I had friends, then they say, I'm done.
If I only had friends and family that agreed with me, I'd have nobody.
Right. You know, I know, I agree with that. It's just that sometimes you get to a point where it's like, I can't be around this person because we're just not connecting at all.
Yeah.
And I think most part, if you're friends with somebody, you can agree to disagree at the end of the day and just live with it.
Yeah.
But some people just go nutso about it. And you wonder if those were really your friends to begin with or not, because if they're that passionate about something that you're not, or you're against, let's put it that way, if you're against, then you just need to be civil about it. And that's why you see these people on Facebook that are friends, and they're constantly putting stuff out that's like, you're just stirring the pot.
If I see something that I really disagree with, I come at it from a secular, factual point of view. I'm not going to force my religion on other people. I don't want to. I don't think it's necessary, and I don't think it's productive. Because you can discount somebody's argument. You can discount my entire argument by saying, well, I don't believe that. But if I come at you with facts, you can't disagree. You can not like the facts, but you can't disagree with them, because the facts are proven. They're facts. They're stone truths. And so you can't, if somebody comes back with, my truth, I can't disagree with my truth, because my truth is not your truth is not my truth, you know? And so I've run into conversations with people like that, but I also have people that don't understand the decisions that I made. And I've had friends ask me directly about the decisions that I've made. And so when I start to explain those decisions, then there's a common understanding. They still disagree with the decision, but at the same time, they have a much more satisfied answer.
Do you feel like when you're right? No, I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but let's say you feel you're right, and you feel they're wrong about something you're discussing. It doesn't mean they're necessarily wrong or you're right, but that's your feeling, and their feeling is they're right about what they're talking about. Your feeling is you're right what you're talking about. Do you feel like they're just idiots because they're not agreeing with what you say?
Do you feel like you try to
dominate the conversation because you get passionate enough where it's like you start getting louder and you start not bullying them, but it's like you're kind of drowning them out because you don't want to hear what they have to say?
Uh, I certainly used to be that way. I'm trying to get better about not being that way and not being overbearing and letting the conversation drift. And this podcast honestly has helped with that.
Oh, good.
Because it's when you're young, you want people to, you think you're full of ideas and you want people to hear them out.
Sure.
You know, and it took, you know, once I turned about 24, 25, I started to realize that pretty much after I got married, I started to realize that my perspective is not the only perspective that matters.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
you can't have a marriage and
you can't believe that. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you can't, even when, and that's why the saying goes, women are always right. It's not because the women are always right, not because they're actually right, but because it's easier to cohabitate if you let the women win. Because
you'll be more peaceful.
It's more peaceful. And that's why it lends itself to the saying.
Of course, the women are probably going to say the same thing about the guys, too.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Yeah. But it lends itself to the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
That's right. Yep.
And you're so right. I don't try to dominate a conversation because there may be information. I'm beginning to be of more of the stance of I hear somebody out, and then I try and show them where they're wrong if they are wrong, you know. And if there's a disagreement,
if they don't want to hear it though, are you gonna like back off if they're
They don't want to hear? There's no point in having a conversation with somebody if they don't want to hear your end.
You definitely know they're wrong. It's in black and white. They're definitely wrong about something, but they're not. They're still arguing with you about it. Just that's when you get this like.
But
let it go.
I think there's a difference between knowing the disagreeing and right and wrong, and then trying to convince somebody else that your perspective is the right perspective.
I think you have to. With most people, if you start pushing it at them, they're going to push back. So I think. And what my experiences have been is if you want to win somebody over, start going around the back door. Just kind of easing around it. Don't get in their face, because then you're just going to make them mad.
Yeah.
But if you just go that roundabout and flank them and try to smooth them into where you're thinking, they might agree with you a lot quicker.
I had a conversation with somebody. He lives in New York, and he's obviously a little bit more left-leaning than I am.
And he's a New Yorker. He's going to be tougher to talk to.
Well, but I mean, he didn't understand why people would vote for Trump. And so because he knew I lived in Texas. And he goes, so you live in Texas and you're reasonable. And I was like, I was like, where are you going with this, John?
Yeah, he stereotyped the whole state.
You know, I said, where are you going with this, John? You know, and I said, well, thank you, but where are you going with this? And he goes, well, he says, I just don't understand why people voted for Trump. And I said, okay, are you looking for a stereotypical answer, or are you looking for a more in-depth answer as to why I voted for Trump? And he goes, well, a bit of both. And I said, okay, well, if you're looking for the stereotypical answer, we voted for Trump because we're Republican. You know, I was like, but I voted for Trump because I believe he's the best guy for the job. I said, you put up two people for the job, I'm going to vote for the person that's the best for the job. Hillary Clinton was not the best for the job.
They could have had a better candidate and won.
And they could have. They could have put up, what's his name?
Anybody.
What's his name with the blonde hair and there's like this square box face? I forget his name.
Bernie Sanders?
No.
Because that's
Sanders. No, Sanders would have won the young vote, but he wouldn't have won the popular vote.
Right.
He wouldn't have. Sanders just didn't garnish enough support. He had plenty of support from the Democratic base, but he did not have enough support from the rest of the country.
Not to change the subject real quick, but the mayor of Los Angeles, Garcias or something like that, he's throwing his hat in for the Democrats.
Yeah.
And he would
be a formidable opponent. The Democrats are just trying to put up. They're trying to put up anybody they can that can take down Trump. But it's like
But I don't think there's anybody that they can. They got to be careful, because if they don't put up a decent candidate, he's going to be president again.
Okay. What the Democrats need to focus on is getting the focus off of Trump himself. If they want to win, pull it off of Trump. If they want to win, pull the focus off of Trump. Start attacking. Because everybody knows his personality, so nobody cares. So start looking at things that he's not doing that you can do, and you'll win. And it's that simple. But since everybody's all cut up, well he's just...
Well, with your friend but asking you why you voted for Trump, you should, before you even answer that, you should have just gone back to him and goes, well, why did you vote for him? Why did you vote for Hillary?
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I said, why did you vote for Hillary? And he goes, well, I voted for Hillary because I thought she was the best person for the job. I said, that's exactly why I voted
for Trump. Let him get on his soapbox for a while. And then you can start dissecting it.
Yeah, but I also brought up the lesser of two evils conversation because a lot of people felt that Hillary was the lesser of two evils. And so I said, I looked at it this way, is I know that Hillary is crooked. You know, based on her interactions from Benghazi, based on her interactions with her husband, based on her interactions with this, with that, I said, if I give her power, I don't know what she's going to do with the power.
Right.
And I don't know what promises she's going to make. If I'm come down to somebody that's crooked that I don't know what they're going to do with this power versus somebody that I do know what's going to do with this power and he's a little bit insane, I'm going to give it to the insane person because he's a little bit more predictable than the crooked person.
Right. Right. And, but see, like, to win somebody like that over, what you got to do, in my feeling, with my interaction with friends or family or anyone, is don't get back in their face over it. Just listen to their side first. Yeah. And then, oh, yeah, well, I can see that. And this is why I think that. But if you start getting really loud and start pushing it, they're going to push back.
And that was the first time. But that wasn't the first time. But that was one of the few times that I've interacted with somebody that I actually convinced him of the good reasons to vote for Trump because he just didn't see it.
Right, I understand.
And I understood. I understand everybody's beef with why. And I, you know, like my sister-in-law, I don't know that she listens. My sister-in-law, she just is like, well, Hillary won the popular vote. And I've always told her, I said, popular vote doesn't matter. The reason they tally
change the
popular,
law, then.
You know, but I don't think the popular vote should matter. You know, and I said, the popular vote doesn't matter because if you make it about the popular vote, then the East Coast and the West Coast gets what they want, but nobody in the middle gets what they want. And I said, that's why it's elected the way it's elected. And she still disagrees with me, and that's fine. I don't care. You know,
That you can just talk to, you're blue in the face and they don't want to hear it.
But I don't want to waste my energy trying to do that. And yeah. There's no point in wasting years of my life trying to convince somebody that they're wrong. People are going to believe that they're right even when they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no point in wasting.
But like our perspective, to me, well, you're young.
Thank you. Thank you. You see why? See, listeners, see why I'm moving to Florida? See what I have to deal with? But we're about out of time, I'd say. I got to get back upstairs and take care of a few things before I go to work. So
yeah.
I think we'll wrap up here. But yeah, it was a good conversation. A little spotty at the beginning, but we'll make it work.
All our conversations are a little spotty.
I'll make the edit look good.
Yeah. Bring in other voices too.
Yes.
Other voices.
Yeah, we'll have a crowd scene.
Crowd scene. Yeah, I should overlay the intro.
Yeah, like some... when we talk it, people go
but anyway, yeah, listeners, you can reach us at SocraticNeighbors@gmail.com. Find us on the Twitters at Socratic Podcast. We're gonna end pretty abruptly here. This has been Lotus with my co-host
Quig Carl,
and find us on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic. And YouTube, all of the podcast viewing areas and listening areas are the same. Socratic Neighbors Podcast. We are your Socratic neighbors, and we like to think things through and share ideas and have a conversation. And the point of the podcast is for you to listen in on the conversation. And if you disagree with us, email us, and you can certainly challenge us on anything that you disagree with. And if you like us, send it to us, and we can certainly challenge you on the disagreement with that.
And if you challenge us on a hot button subject that you know is going to get us, don't write it.
You can challenge us on a hot button subject, but be civil. Please be civil.
Yes, that's civil. That's what I meant. Be civil.
Be civil. Don't. I'm not. If you if you send us something that's,
I think friends real quick will try to avoid hot subject buttons with their friends sometimes because they don't want to get. They don't want to get them mad about something.
They don't want to get them
mad. But yeah, right. And I guess what I want to say is don't scream at us. Just give us your point of view, and then we'll give you ours. We're not gonna judge you if your point of view is different, even if we might not agree with it. And if you're writing into us for that, it's because you don't agree with everything we're doing.
Right. And that's the point. That's the whole point of the podcast is to hash out ideas and. Just remember that if you are civil, we will still be friends.
Yes.
At the end of the day, we will still be friends. But we're going to take a – since I'm moving to Florida, we're going to be taking a break for the next few weeks. So there won't be any podcasts for the next couple weeks. But we will still continue to bring you content probably every couple weeks from then on out. We'll probably stretch out our schedule a little bit more because I'm going to be a lot busier.
Yeah, and you'll probably do your side of it from an orange grove or something.
Yeah. I gotta find the right orange tree to sit underneath. Palm tree. Yeah. And I also gotta find the right. I gotta find the right view so I'm not distracted. Because if I turn the wrong way, then I'll look at the beach and I won't want to talk to you. But yeah, this has been Socratic Neighbors Podcast. I hope. That our listeners have a great next couple weeks, and I'm gonna miss you being around and being in the studio.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm gonna be the lonely guy like John Candy and them. Yeah.
But I'm gonna miss being in the same.
But the location. Good news is we'll FaceTime at least once a week probably after we settled.
Yeah. And we'll also do when my wife and I come visit, we'll definitely I'll bring the microphone and we'll
do our podcast.
We'll do a special episode recording,
or we can go to do it at your parents' house where you'll be staying probably we can get your grandfather in again. I enjoyed him talking.
Yes, we need to do an episode with him. Yes. I definitely agree. We need to do an episode with him.
I enjoyed the way he just kind of started talking into the whole thing. He's gonna have a lot of good stories.
He's getting up there,
but you know what, I hope I was in good shape as if I make it to that age as he is.
Yeah. He's in pretty good shape for his age. I definitely agree with you there. But hope everybody has a great next couple weeks, and best of luck to you.
Best of luck to you on your move.
Thank you very much. And well, I mean, you and I will see each other next couple weeks. But,
you'll still be here for a while. We'll have to do dinner maybe one night before you leave.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, I guess we'll sign off. And have a great week, listeners.